On tonight's programme, we're from two corners of the country. We're at a sea rowing event in Dingle in County Kerry, and we're on one of the country's most unexplored islands, Rathlin Island off the Antrim coast. Last weekend, the picturesque port of Dingle in County Kerry hosted not one, but two major regattas. First was the world-famous Dingle Regatta, but then also, for the very first time, the All-Ireland Coastal Rowing Championships. Here's how the action went down. This report from Frances Kelly.
Cremon native Mary B. Tehan is the voice of the All-Ireland Coastal Rowing Championships, and she explains what it means for the championships to be coming to Dingle.
We're absolutely delighted to be here in Dingle this weekend. It's the first time it's ever been done in our history that the All-Ireland Coastal Rowing Championships, which is 27 years going, and the Dingle Regatta, which is world renowned, as we always say, and their Navogues and their tradition come together to basically showcase everything that's good about coastal rowing. The coastal clubs have totally embraced this and they love it, and this is their big weekend, and to get almost 600 crews to Kerry is just phenomenal. We have about 100,000 people that come in and watch this on the live feed. They come because they enjoy it, they come because they're passionate, they come because this is where the coastal communities come for their one big weekend in the year, and to have it here in Dingle is a dream come true. I think anybody that's come here today will be shocked when they see a Myros Brown and a Castletown Bear gig and a Killarney Sixes and a Kerry Four Hour and an East Coast Skiff and a Wexford Cot, and they'll be going, what kind of a boat is that? And of course, tomorrow evening and Sunday evening, we're bringing the same boats. And everybody in Dingle is saying, oh my God, I can't wait to see the same boats, Mary. So you're going to see lots of mixture of boats here this weekend.
And one of those was a beautiful East Coast Skiff.
This boat's called the Congress. It was named after a boat in Bray that used to bring the tourists around Bray area. There was the Congress and the Erin. So this was named after one of the guys used to row it, and he died and it was named after him.
This is Andrew Riley of Bray Rowing Club.
It's an East Coast racing skiff. Years ago, the boats used to race out to the bigger boats coming into Dublin Port, and whoever got there first, they could pilot the boat in so they'd get money. And then they start racing them. They start racing them for money first, but we just race for medals nowadays. This boat was built by Terry Keogh. It took him 3 months to build it. It's built with Canadian spruce and hardwood timber is mahogany. There's four crew and one cox. The dimensions is approximately about 22 feet. They all have to be made to specification, so they're all the same. So all clubs on the East Coast from Arklow, Wicklow, Dunleary, Dalkey, Killiney, Skerries, Ringsend, the Stella, St. Pat's, all them will have the exact same boats.
Okay, trawler coming out, guys, out of the way of the channel, out of the way of the channel, come way in here, inside the Danner boys. Canterbury in, Tipolo in, come out of the channel, please. Out of the channel, trawler coming out.
My name is Alison Coffey, Fossa Rowing Club, just outside of Killarney.
So you're getting ready to compete?
Yes, our first race today on Saturday is the under 21 boys.
Could you tell me about the boat?
Well, this boat is called a One Design, and they're built for ocean racing and turning, and they're asymmetrical, which makes them more effective to turn. They're quite heavy, I think weighing about 150 kg, and it's a four-man coxed boat, or four-woman coxed boat.
Okay, are you competing yourself?
Yes, well, I did yesterday. We had the Killarney Sixes, which is a traditional wooden Killarney boat, and we were second in that race. And tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, I'll be competing in the veteran mixed race. Yes, that's two men and two women. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, pull ahead, all boats. Pull ahead, five. Good stuff. All boats ready? Pull ahead, 64. Pull ahead, workmen. All boats ready? And they're off.
Well, my name is Eddie Hutch. I am the chairman of the Dingle Regatta Committee, like that. And we have 96 children under 16 years of age in this club, like that. And we have about 30 seniors. The first regatta was here in Dingle in 1843. Yes. So that's a long way back. So now today we're going side by side with the Coastal Rowing of Ireland here in Dingle. They came Friday and they're here in their thousands. And it's a good bit breezy, but it's a good dry day. The rain is staying away and that means a lot, like that. So we are all ready to go here for the underage racing today from 18 down to 12, and there are only 10 and 9, some of them. It'll be hell for leather then for the rest of the day, like that. Well, I'm a boat builder. I'm building a car since the 60s now, like that. And we have built hundreds of them, like, at this stage. We built them for all over the world, one for the Pope, one for Lesville in Poland. French boats, we put about 16 to France, we put them everywhere.
We're out here in the yard, surrounded by maybe 12, 15, maybe 20 naval.
There's nearly 20 here in the yard at the moment. This is the Patrick, which won the All-Ireland for the last 7 years by the women. Manza and her crew won the All-Ireland with this for the last 7 years. They have retired this year, so she's left in her own there. There'll be some crew there today, but it'll be different like that.
And did you build the Patrick?
Yes, we did. Myself and Manza built the Patrick.
Could you describe the Patrick in
Well, she's a 25-foot boat. She's made out of cedar, and the ribs are ash, like that. And the canvas, she's a canvas boat with a tar canvas. Canvas now, like light canvas, 12-ounce canvas, with two coats of tar. And a coat here, then silver in the bottom to keep away the sun, like that. So that's what she's made out of. There is 2 oars by every person. She's an 8-oar boat, like that. So it's hard. She's hard to handle, but she can go fast, like that.
The Navogues would be lighter than the other skiffs from the other parts of Ireland.
She would be. She's only about 60 kgs, like that. That's the weight of this one now, like that.
Very light, very manoeuvre.
Very, very manoeuvre, but very light. Yeah.
If you put a naval...
And she, like the old people say, she turned on a sixpence.
If you put the naval against some of the other skiffs, who'd come out on top?
Well, we did it before, about 15 years ago here in Dingle, and we beat them. Because we had a few turns, and they wouldn't be as fast as us in the turns. They could get us in the straight, but not around the turns, like that. So if you gain any few lengths in the turn, you'd come home in front of them, right? Yeah. So that's the way they are, I suppose. They're a fast boat. We raced in London in the Great River Race. We did it 9 times, like that. And our boats won it twice. And we were third and fourth and fifth out of 300 boats every time. So they have a good trial made there, yes.
So this is going to be a very, very tough race this evening in these conditions. But we're coastal and that's what we're built for.
One of the big highlights of the weekend was the seine boat racing. And Valentia boat builder Dermot Walsh was on hand to explain the mystique of these famous old boats and their distinctive construction.
Yeah, they're 34 feet long by 5 foot 6 beam, built of white deal and elm frames. That's the main thing, really. And the height is about 24 inches in the bow, 22 in the middle, and 23 or 4 in the stern. And that's 12 men rowing.
12 men, and how many to an oar?
Two to an oar, two each oar. Inside and outside man.
What's distinctive about the sailboats? What is it about the sailboats?
It seems to be de-raced, like, you know, there's fierce interest in sailboats. They were the old fishing boats that were here one time. They were fishing there in the early 1900s for mackerel and that. The 1800s, 1900s for mackerel. See, that's what they call seine, just carry seine. The original sailboat, from what I believe, had 5 oars. And because the sixth oar was only put in, the seat was only put in for the every regatta for a race.
Okay.
You know?
In terms of construction, what kind of man hours now are you talking
about? Oh, you're talking about, I suppose, 15 or 16 weeks and it's a bit the same, but like by the time it might be 20, 23 or 4 weeks before we're finished out, like, you know, there's a lot of work on it.
And is there much maintenance on them?
Not a big pile. There's good paints going now. There's like, you know, two-pack paints and that.
Given that it's a 12-man crew, is it very difficult to keep the crews together?
It's hard, 12 is hard, yeah, but I'm very, very lucky this year. Like, you know, my lads are very good to turn up and that, and I've great under 16 and minor boys there. And indeed, through the years, I had great girls that filled in the same, but night after night after night, you know, there were great girls that are around me as well. You know, they filled in the same, but and the girls are as good as the boys when they get going.
Give it up for the day, boat men of South Bay Kelly. As a Kingdom woman, I am so proud to be standing here in the waters of Dingle and looking out in Dingle Harbour and welcoming you to each and every one of you that has come down here today. We really, really appreciate it. The showcase of rowing that was out there in the toughest of conditions shows that coastal rowing is a tough sport and we're tough to be in the middle of it. So well done to each and every crew that went out there onto the water, and ye all deserve a big pool of us.
And thanks to Francis Kelly, reporting from Dingle and the All-Ireland Coastal Rowing Championships. Rathlin Island is at the opposite corner of the country to Dingle. It's off the coast of County Antrim. It measures 6 kilometres from east to west and 4 from north to south. Mike McCartney has been to Rathlin, where the locals have been joined by 2 pairs of corncrakes for the first time in 30 years. He spoke to RSPB Northern Ireland Warden, Liam McFall.
Well, we're looking at nettles, actually, that we planted here. And these nettles are ideal for corncrakes, because when corncrakes come back from their migration to Africa, West Africa, they're looking for open, structured plants to get underneath to hide, because they're very secretive birds. And when they come in, they want to just scurry into the undergrowth, and that's where they stay in there and will probably have their first broods even in these nettle patches. And then as the grass and the rest of the field grows up, then they'll move out into the field and then they'll have a second brood of young. And they should be hatching about, they should be just hatched now towards the end of July. And then when they're old enough, the whole family all then migrate back to Africa sort of in mid-September time.
No corncrake for 30 years on the island.
Before the 80s, they would have been quite common all around the island. And then they started to decline like they did in a lot of places all over Ireland and the UK at large. And then we eventually lost them. And we've had the odd bird come in and call, but we're not even sure whether they're successfully bred or not. But for the last 4 years now, we've had a single bird up the road at another farm on the island. And then this year, this is why it's so unique, we've had 2 pairs, and that was the first time since 85. So it's over 30 years. And once you get them started, which hopefully we've done now, we'll have 2 pairs, and next year we'll have 2 at least, and maybe more. So yeah, it's important to get your own population established so they know where to come back to. Well, this is a good example. We've got the early cover that we created in the edges and some natural early cover that's there, like this hogweed and stuff, that's good as well because it grows quick in spring. And then the rest of the field is quite species rich, so there's a lot of diversity here. Look at these lovely vetches growing over here and all those plants there, and that's good because that in itself brings in a lot of insects. And invertebrates are the main staple diet of these birds. So when they're out there, they'll be foraging around, they're getting all their food source, and this species-rich cover is quite open and loose. It's not like big, dense, heavy grass. They can just work their way through at the ground level and never be seen and get all the food source as well.
Forecast for coasts from Errishead to Carlingford Lough to Carnsore Point and for the Irish Sea.
There are 3 lighthouses on the island, and celebrating its 100th birthday is Rathlin's West Lighthouse, which Liam McFall's grandfather worked on. It's sometimes referred to as the upside-down lighthouse, with its light on the bottom of the structure, although it is high enough to be seen by ships over the Earth's curvature and low enough to be seen below the fog levels. Hazel Watson is the visitor experience manager for the RSPB.
They started building it in 1912 and finished it around 1916, but they didn't actually start operating it as a lighthouse until 1919 because the First World War was happening and they didn't want the light here to be assisting enemy ships or anything like that. So they waited until the First World War had ended, and then they started using it as a lighthouse. Well, the lens there is rotating. The light itself isn't on. It only comes on at night or when the levels get low enough to activate the sensor, which triggers the light to come on. So that's usually just after sunset. The light itself will come on and you'll be able to see this beautiful red glowing light, which is very special because it's the only one that's red in all of Ireland. So we're lucky to have this beautiful red light here.
And it's a lighthouse that doesn't stand still because you're changing with the times. There are big plans on board.
That's right. Inside the lens there is a big 1,000-watt light bulb, which uses a lot of electricity to power it. And the plan is in the future, in 2021, they're going to switch that for an LED, which is going to produce light pretty much as bright as it is at the moment, but it's going to use a lot less electricity.
And you're moving away from diesel too?
Yes, at the moment we've got backup generators that kick in if there's an interruption to the power supply, and they run on diesel, but the idea is that they'll change that over so it just runs off a battery, and that'll be a more environmentally friendly option.
Every year, tens of thousands of seabirds nest on the island, but beware of what lies beneath the ocean wave. As Joshua Brown confirms.
At the moment is a great time to see lots of the sharks and dolphins. Last week we had a minke whale here at the centre, but it's quite hard to see because it has such a small dorsal fin. And then there's also been porpoises this week, as well as dolphins off the ferry. This is quite a good time. They like to feed in some of the offshore waters. There's lots of fish around at the moment.
Now, there's a huge habitat of birds here in the background. Can you tell me about them?
Yeah, this is the largest seabird colony in Northern Ireland. So we've got lots of puffins, guillemots, razorbills, fulmars and kittiwakes as well.
And they're just here behind us. Some of them are getting ready to fly away.
Yeah, the razorbills and guillemots have already left. Nearly all of them are gone. And then the puffins will be gone in the next week or so. And they go out to sea for the winter. And they stay out in the open ocean until they come back to breed. That will be early April and late March. They've actually come back on the same day in late March in the last 3 years in a row on the 27th of March.
Will some of them take up the old nest?
Yeah, they'll use the burrows that they've had in previous years. And sometimes if a pair doesn't come back, then a new pair will move in.
Back at the Ratlin Co-op shop is Aoife O'Brien-Molloy. She described the store as being a lot more than a community shop.
Yes, definitely more. I mean, it's a lifeline service for the island. In the past year now, we've had to diversify to try and keep it going a bit. So we do a bit of everything from milk and bread to specialised soaps and coffee and sweets, and also crafts produced by people who live on the island as well. So it's an outlet for the arts and crafts on the island as well. And over the years then there was money built up, which meant then that we were able to create three jobs. So there's myself and Senya who both do part-time, and John who works every day. He collects the deliveries from the boat. And then we got a grant from ASDA, and we're able to convert what were the old pottery workshops and silver workshops and create a purpose-built shop for the island.
You're involved too in what they call the Cold Water Project.
Yes, the Cold Water Project involves, I think it's around 8 to 10 different places around Ireland and the UK, and is basically about... was started by surfers for against sewage and parley for the oceans, and is basically trying to clean up the coastline and also raise awareness about the amount of plastic and single-use objects that we use on a daily basis, and then trying to reduce that. So the shop, what we've done in the shop is we have an ongoing thing where people can come in, collect a bucket, and then take the bucket off. They go and pick up rubbish around the island, whether it be on the beach or just along the shore or on their walk around the island. They bring it back, and then Causeway Coffee actually very kindly donated coffee to us for the incentive, and they can come in and get a free drink then. So it's basically trying to incentivise people to look around them and see that there is rubbish there and to pick it up and just try and keep the island, you know, clean. But it's basically just looking at what we use every day and how we can reduce the waste that we're creating.
And we'll have more from Rathlin Island and Mike McCartney in the weeks to come. Now, both Rathlin and Dingle have modern marinas, and marinas, in fact, are now springing up all over the coast. Our regular contributor, Hugh Oram, has been exploring some of them.
Over the past 30 years, Ireland's coastal towns and ports have been transformed by the development of so many marinas. At this stage, Ireland has around 40 marinas, with three quarters of them in this part of the country, with the rest in the north of Ireland. The biggest marina by far is the one in Dunleara Harbour, which can now provide berths for 820 boats, ranging in length from 6 metres to 45 metres, the latter being super yachts, great generators of tourism income. The Dunleara Marina was slow to start because numerous objections to it being built held up its development for 15 years, but it opened in 2001 and has been going strong ever since, with availability at all tides an important consideration. Among its recent accolades was the Eco Merit Certification, an acknowledgement of its work in continuous environmental improvement. Such has been the strength of marina development that as recently as 2003, just 16 years ago, when the Irish Marina Operators Association was launched, there were just 18 marinas in the whole of Ireland. Along the east coast, marinas are located in such places as Carlingford, Malahide, Howth, Poolbeg and Arklow. Carlingford can berth 300 boats, while Malahide can take 350, two of the largest marinas along the east coast. The marina at Howth, which can take around 270 boats, is looking at extensions. Malahide has also been one of the prime examples of residential development taking place alongside the marina. People are willing to pay very large sums of money for an apartment beside a marina, so this particular aspect of marina development is likely to expand. When Greystones Marina started in 2013, it could offer berthing for 100 boats. Now it can take up to 250. And like Malahide, it's seen lots of apartment development alongside its marina. In the southeast at New Ross, there's one of the few examples in Ireland of an inland marina. And hardly surprisingly, most of the impetus for marina development has come at coastal towns along the south coast, everywhere from Crosshaven to Bear Island. Crosshaven has no less than three marinas, nearly 400 berths in all. Kinsale, surprise, surprise, is another big site for marinas, too, which in total can provide berths for around 400 boats. Undoubtedly, the biggest current plan for expansion along the south coast is at Cove, with its plans for a new development in the marina costed at €450,000, and which has been driven by Cove Sailing Club and Cork County Council. Last year, Skull opened a new public portion of its marina for short-term berths for boats and yachts, and a new one has now opened in Bantry. Along the west coast, one of the marinas that's looking to expand is Fianna in County Kerry. In Galway Harbour, some 40 marina berths are available, and the scale of charges gives a good indication of how much it costs to tie up at a marina. The annual fee is €300 per metre, while the daily fee is a mere €2 per metre. And much further up the west coast, Killybegs opened a small craft harbour in 2016, capable of mooring 63 boats up to 15 metres in length, with one berth for boats longer than 20 metres. And also in County Donegal, the Loch Swilly Marina at Fawn, which can berth 200 boats, is also looking at extensions. Across Northern Ireland, a total of 10 marinas offer facilities right around the coastline, from Derry to Ardglass. The largest marina in the north is at Bangor, County Down, which can take 500 boats, and it was also one of the first marinas built in Ireland back in 1989. The other big marina in the north is at Carrickfergus, which can offer berths to nearly 300 boats. And one of those isolated places in the north, Rathlin Island off the North Antrim coast, also has a small marina. These days, the development of marinas has moved on so much from the traditional facilities like showers and toilets, as well as refueling, that Wi-Fi is now a must-have for any decent marina. and the marina business in total is now estimated to be worth about €1 billion to the Irish economy. But plenty of challenges lie ahead. Boat ownership in Ireland is still well below European standards, one boat to 172 people, compared to the European average of one boat for every 42 people. David O'Brien of Afloat says that there's still lots more to do. Legislative impediments are a serious obstacle, such as the Foreshore Act, which the government so far has failed to remedy. Marine interests are still spread across five government departments, so joined-up thinking is nearly impossible. And David O'Brien says that hopefully a new marine spatial plan will streamline the planning process and help develop marinas in small coastal communities. Another big issue is the cost of using marinas here, which can be extremely expensive. And very often it's far cheaper to berth in Mediterranean ports and just fly there by Ryanair. But if all goes well, it looks as if Ireland could get a lot more marinas over the next few years, and it could be an exciting time for marine development.
Hugh Orr.